Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas. Later on in the show, Stevie Nicol will be joining us as we'll be discussing Chelsea's chances ahead of the start of the new season. We'll start, though, by introducing Craig Burley, Frank LaBeouf and Mark Ogden. Mark, I want to start with you for all things Manchester. Let's start on the red side, shall we? Obviously, it looks like Van der Beek will be making that move from the Eredivisie to the Premier League. The thing that we've been discussing a lot over the last couple of days is where does he fit into this Manchester United side? So we asked you for your potential starting 11.
Yeah, I think he plays in a team with Fernandes and Pogba. I think you can accommodate him if you have the right people behind him, if you have a strong enough back line. I think Van der Beek is somebody with a bit of industry. He'll run around, he'll create space. I think Van der Beek can play anywhere. When you get players from Ajax, they tend to have that ability to play anywhere in their position. So I think that he'll be a good addition. And also, I think what we saw when United lost the Europa League semi-final to Sevilla was that United really lacked depth, and he's come in, and the people that were coming in the past are people like Jesse Lingard, Andres Pereira, Juan Mata, who are not good enough or are no longer good enough for United. So he's an upgrade in all three of those. It just makes United better in that position.
Pogba, Fernandes, Van der Beek, Matic midfield. Does that work for you, Craig?
Well, it's better than how they were operating last year with the personnel at times. Look, Van der Beek is, Augie said, can do a little bit of everything. I think there's a question mark, there's a serious question mark, and that will continue, I think, about Matic's ability to get around the pitch and block that back line off. But, you know, the interesting thing is that, you know, the kind of shape of team that Mark has gone for is slightly different to what Van de Beek is reporting to journalists in Holland. He's saying he's had conversations with Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, who has told him he really sees him as a playmaker and wants to and sees him as a number 10 role. And apparently he's delighted with that. But he clearly never watched the final 6 months of Man United season where Bruno Fernandes was absolutely fantastic. So I don't know. You know, what he does do, he improves United's squad. He improves their talent level and their ability to change things around. So That's never a bad thing, but you know, I think the balance of that midfield would still be under a little bit of pressure.
Yeah, would you question that balance as well, Frank?
Yes, definitely. Well, first of all, I think it's a very good recruitment, and then Van der Beek, as Craig just said, can play everywhere, which is not the case of Paul Pogba. And I think you will have to find the right position for Paul Pogba, which is still a question mark and has been a question mark for many coaches and many talents who have seen him with lots of qualities, but no real position, you know, on the field.
Where do you play him, Frank? Where would you play him if you were Solskjaer?
Well, let's say maybe alongside Matic or maybe on the left side, but never on the right side, as Mark just put him, because I've seen him once playing there and he was nowhere near it. Well, Wan-Bissaka, if it's the case, will have lots of jobs because Pogba doesn't like really to defend. He's okay if he's in a position, but if he has to go back, he doesn't like it. So I don't know. It's going to be a question mark to find the right balance. Van der Beek can play number 10. As Craig said, Fernandes did very well as a number 10. But I think Fernandes can also be used as a back midfield, let's say, alongside Matic, and you can leave free Pogba because we don't know where to put him. And maybe you will more balance that midfield's positions.
Where do you put Pogba, Mark?
It always gets back to Pogba, doesn't it? You know, even when they sign new players, it's always about Paul Pogba. I agree with the guys, you know. After all the time he's been at United and at Juventus, nobody knows what his best position is. And I certainly won't play him alongside Matic because I don't think he has the defensive discipline to do that role. He just doesn't seem to like it. He seems to, I won't go as far as to say sulked there, but he doesn't give it any kind of full commitment, I don't think. The thing with Pogba is I think Pogba can either be spectacular in terms of what he does in the creative third of the pitch, or on a bad day, he could be Man United's Mesut Ozil. He just goes missing. And not only does he go missing, he drops his team in it a lot. And, you know, if United were a stronger squad and Solskjaer was in a strong position, I'd actually get rid of Pogba. I think that it doesn't give you enough for the baggage that he brings with him. I don't see this super talent that people talk about. I think we've had long enough now to see what Paul Pogba does. And he has more off days than good days. And You know, United have their own star now, Bruno Fernandes. I'm not sure they need Pogba. I think that, who knows, this could be Solskjaer kind of planning for life after Pogba. Unfortunately, I don't think it is. I think that United are stuck with him and he's stuck with United. But I do think that, you know, Van der Beek would bring more work rate and more consistency. We've seen Bruno Fernandes deliver both consistency and work rate and goals. I still don't know what Pogba does. So time will tell with Pogba. But yeah, there are a lot of question marks over Paul Pogba and they never seem to go away.
The interesting thing there, Dan, is, and there is, just to go back on that, is there is an element here of whether Solskjaer is going to try and shoehorn one of these players in, if this is the current personnel he's got to select from. Because, you know, we're seeing Mikel Arteta go into Arsenal and apart from anything else, have some strong management in terms of, you know, team selection. And Solskjaer's going to have that. I agree with Mark. I think there's been links with Thiago, whether that's true or not, I don't know. But the Van de Beek signing, potentially, the Fernandes signing, is signalling, I think, that in a perfect world, United, if they could get top dollar for Pogba without him, and they would have Van de Beek in there with Matic and Fernandes in front, or sign another player. If you look at the way they played towards the end of last season, when they did perform better in terms of how they played their football, you know, Pogba was a little bit more central alongside Matic with Fernandes in the hole. But long term, I don't think Solskjaer believes, and Mark picked up on it, is that the defensive aspect of his game is slack. So United might be trying to pave a pathway for being able to get Paul Pogba out the door. The problem is, with this pandemic, is whether enough teams have got the appetite to splash the budget on this player. But I could easily see him having to spend some time in the bench next season. If Fernandes continues with his form, if Matic is fit and Van de Beek comes in and does well, I don't think it's a guarantee Pogba will start.
We'll talk about the possibility of Thiago in a moment, but I want to start by talking about the story that you broke yesterday, Mark. Upamecano making that move from the Bundesliga to the Premier League. Of course, really impressed, in particular for those who hadn't seen him before, in that Champions League clash against Atleti. How serious are United about getting the Frenchman?
Well, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer on the football side is serious about Upamecano, and they see the need for a new centre-half. I think Ole may have to do a bit of work on persuading the hierarchy that it's a deal that's worth doing. I don't think it's a deal that he should have to push hard to do. I think it's an obvious one for me because Upamecano is a real talent. He's only 21. He's got great years ahead of him. He was fantastic in that Champions League game against Atleti. For me, he's a guy that will make United better. He'll make Harry Maguire better. And I think Solskjaer has looked at his defensive options and realised that he hasn't got a reliable centre-half to play alongside Maguire because Eric Bailly's never fit. Victor Lindelof, inconsistent, drops a few clangers every now and again, can't head the ball, which isn't a good sign for a centre-half. Phil Jones will go, Chris Smalling will go, Marcus Rojo will go, Axel Tuanzebe, a young kid. Again, a patchy fitness record. So he needs somebody he can rely upon. And for me, Upamecano is, you know, at his age, he's a certainty, I think. And the fee that they could get him for, he's a release clause at the end of this season, around €45 million. So, you know, they'd have to pay a bit more than that. But I don't think they'd have to break the bank to sign a player with potential to be United centre-half for the next 10 years. But ultimately, the money men will decide at United, and that is where it may fall down.
Frank, we heard Stevie on yesterday's show waxing lyrical about this youngster. Do you agree? Is he up there as the potential to be the best defender in the world?
I do agree. I think Upamecano showed this season that he's at the top level. And if we could have some question marks last season because he made some, well, easy mistakes, being too maybe sloppy at some point, I think he worked hard on that, and now he became really very consistent every game that he played, and it will be a fantastic signing for Manchester United. He's only 21 years old, and as Steve said, I mean, it could be the captain of Manchester United for a decade. You know, bring solidity, of course, in the defense, where we're wondering it sometimes. You know, even if you pay a big time money for Maguire, if you had it. So it's important for the club. I'm very surprised that Upamecano cannot have some, sorry, bigger clubs, not in terms of history, but in terms of results lately than Manchester United. But it's a good thing. If you have the midfield that we just talked about and Upamecano on top of the others, that could be a new Manchester United era. But it's obvious that Manchester United has to get a centre-half and is seems to be the right target.
It seems like there's no question about this. United need to get it done and get it done quickly.
Yeah, and I think getting it done quickly would be the key here. And if you're having to go to your board and try and convince them about one of the best up-and-coming young defenders with experience in the bank already of high-level football who could be a player for you for the next 10 years, at least, you know, if injury and all goes well, then that's a worry for Solskjaer. Because on the other side of the coin as well, we've talked about all the big clubs around Europe who are struggling in the centre-half department. And there's a real dearth of quality players, never mind quality young players. Mm. And so if United don't go out and snap this kid up, trust me, one of the other big boys is going to do it soon.
Speaking of quality young players, what's going on with Jadon Sancho, Mark?
Well, United have hit a bit of an impasse there because the situation with Sancho is that Dortmund have told United that, look, don't speak to us, speak to the kid, speak to his agent, get a deal done there, and then when you come to us, we'll get it done quickly. But they're just not making any progress with Sancho and his agent, and I've been told that the fees involved are just way too high, that they're just not going to do it at those levels. So, you know, as the longer it goes on, I think United are finding that it'll take a massive drop on the side of the Sancho camp for it to happen. Now, who knows, they may be spending that money now. I mean, if they sign Van der Beek and Upamecano, that could be 100, 120 million done quickly. That's the Sancho money. So you do wonder whether Sancho is just dragging his feet on this one and he could miss out on a move. And I don't get any sense of confidence from people at United that this deal is going to happen soon, if at all, now.
Mark, well, one second, Mark. What do you mean Dortmund have told United to get on with dealing with Sancho and the agent and the fees are too high? Surely the fees are agreed between the clubs and then everything else unravels from there.
No, I mean, in terms of fees, I mean, player wages and agent fees, that's the hold-up right now. What I've been told is Dortmund have said to United, look, come to us at the last minute once you've agreed everything with the player and then we'll get down to it. But it's a strange way of working, but I think on a PR level, it enables Dortmund to say to their fans, we haven't spoken to Man United, we haven't had negotiations. I think it's more of a kind of a PR management tool rather than a reality. You know how it works in the game, that deals get done in various different ways, but as it stands, United at the minute are having to get a deal done with the player and his people before getting a deal done with the club.
Sorry, Dan, I thought that's what you meant. And I'm kind of just about to go and bash my head in the wall, having made a couple of transfers and dealt with agents, albeit it wasn't the kind of money we're talking about now. But if I was a player that wanted that move, I think I would be instructed, and I don't know, but I think I'd be instructing my agent to have a second thought about his fees if it was going to jeopardise a deal, particularly a deal that involved my career. Now, if it's purely his wage demands, then listen, that's his own call and that of his representative. But surely to God, one of the most talented youngsters in European football is not going to see a deal fall flat because his agent wants too money. That's just absolute bonkers.
Just going to make the point that Sancho said nothing on this, and it's interesting that he's not said anything either way, that he wants to stay at Dortmund or he wants to push and move to Man United. He's been very quiet on this, so I think until he gives some sort of indication as to what he wants to do, it'll still be, you know, in limbo. So it probably needs Jadon Sancho to break this impasse and say he either wants to move or he wants to stay.
We mentioned Thiago before, obviously heavily linked to a move to Liverpool last week. Manchester United now apparently in the running as well, Mark.
Yeah, United have made inquiries. I think what they've been told is that, again, Thiago's wage demands are going to be too high. I think the thing with Thiago is that at 29, with a checkered injury record and a fee that will come with it, he does look like being an expensive deal for whoever gets it done. I think Bayern want about £27-30 million for him, plus his wages, which will be substantial. So you're talking about a deal that will begin to stack up. So I think United have looked at it and thought it's too expensive, which is what Liverpool have found. I think Liverpool would like to get it done in an ideal world, but they've been hit hard by COVID. They're down about £30-35 million because they've lost revenue through ticket sales and having to give a rebate to the Premier League. So I've been told that Liverpool need somebody to leave before they can do a deal for Thiago, and it looks like nobody of any significance is going to leave. That the one player that I've been told could actually unlock the deal is Gino Wijnaldum. Gini's got a year left on his contract, hasn't given any indication he'll sign a new one. Liverpool don't want to pay him what he thinks he deserves, so there's a bit of a gap between them right now. But Klopp doesn't want him to leave. Wijnaldum doesn't want to leave early. So unless something happens there, Wijnaldum will stay and Thiago won't happen.
Meanwhile, to the blue side of Manchester, Mark, the last time you were on, you said you spoke to people within the club at Manchester City and they didn't think that Lionel Messi was going to leave Barcelona. Has that changed over the last few days, given that he's pretty much kind of now on strike?
Well, City's still playing it pretty cool. You know, I think for them it works not to say anything. So when they said at the time that they felt he was going to stay at Barcelona, I did feel it was a bit of a ploy, a bit of a kind of a tactic to buy a bit of time. And I think we've all decided over the last week or so that it's looking more and more like that Messi's going to leave. I think the way that developments have moved on, it does suggest that there really is a gulf there between him and Barcelona. So I think City have got a confidence. But we have seen this before with certain players. I think the one obvious, you know, comparison is Wayne Rooney at Man United. It looked to all the world that he was going to leave in 2010. And again, 3 years later, he stayed each time because, you know, big clubs do not let their big players go easily. And big clubs do have a power of their own at times. And I think that Barca shouldn't be absolutely ruled out in this one. But there's so many politics involved with this that, you know, he may actually leave. And if he does leave, I think the only obvious destination right now is Man City.
Talking about another centre-back, this time at Manchester City. Just going to, Stevie brought up yesterday, Upamecano, Koulibaly. Obviously, Koulibaly much more established, but 29. Upamecano, 21. City apparently haggling for the price for the Napoli centre-back, Mark. It's not anyone at City gone, well, why don't we just take this youngster?
I think the issue with Upamecano is that City have had some ups and downs with young centre-halves in recent years, and I think they're worried about getting another one that might take a bit of time to bed in. And, you know, we can talk about John Stones as being probably a miss. Mangala was a big miss. You know, Aymeric Laporte's done well, but I think with Koulibaly, what they're getting with Koulibaly is you know, ready-made here and now. May not have a long-term, you know, value to him in terms of resale or money they can get back, but maybe it's a bit like when Van Persie signed for Man United back in 2012. Sometimes you just need a player that can slot in straight away and do the job. Now, I think Upamecano could do that, but Koulibaly at his age brings a bit more experience, and City haven't got that kind of senior figure at the back since Kompany left, and maybe that's what they're looking for right now, a player that has got the experience to hold it all together, to lead from, you know, lead from the front at the back, as they say. So I think that's what it's all about with Koulibaly, somebody who's ready-made and won't need time to bed in like Upamecano may.
Does that make sense, Craig?
Well, it makes less sense from the club's perspective, but it makes absolute sense for the manager, who will be coming under more increasing pressure as every season goes by, that they capitulate in the Champions League. Because like PSG and all the money spent there, that's the one they strive for. They've done the damage domestically. And they're gearing up for it again. And I'm not saying they couldn't win it with Upamecano, but clearly, and I don't think it's up for debate, that Koulibaly is much more of the finished article. But obviously, it's a shorter-term project. So I could see the club trying to push for younger players, and I could see the manager absolutely fighting his corner to get the guy that's ready now.
Do you agree, Frank?
Well, I agree, even if I think that... you know, if you think about finances, you know that if you pay Koulibaly, it will be hard to, if you bring him in to Manchester City, it will be hard to sell him after. And you always have a chance with a fantastic 21 years old defender to get a money back. So it's also a prospective financially. Yeah, true. Koulibaly is more ready. He knows the Champions League. He has the experience. He's 29, and he's going to go along Laporte very well. But so will be Upamecano, and it will be a question. Really, it will be a question. But if they are in a hurry, if they want results straight away, which is kind of the emergency dictature that we see nowadays, it will work. I like Koulibaly. He's a fantastic defender, and he will fit perfectly Manchester City alongside, again, Laporte. They desperate also need another centre-half.
Thank you very much, boys. We'll say thank you to Mark for now. Just a reminder, for all your latest transfer news, you can check out Transfer Talk over on the website. We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
This is what Paolo Tonietto, Thiago Silva's agent, had to say about his client. Physically, Thiago can play for another 5 or 6 years at the highest level. He is an athlete who looks after himself. He doesn't drink, he doesn't smoke, he doesn't party. His life is home, work, work, home. And how apt it is as we welcome Steve Nicol to join us on the show, as well as Craig and Frank, whose agent I'm sure would have said exactly the same about you, Stevie, back in the day. It's the first chance, really, that we've had the opportunity to talk about Silva's move from PSG to Chelsea from you. Is this a good one, in your opinion, Stevie?
Yeah, I think it's a good one. I don't think it's outlandish, shall we say, because, you know, at the end of the day, the guy's still a good defender. He's no Virgil van Dijk, but he's a good defender, and he's better than what they have. You know, Rudiger has been so inconsistent. Kurt Zouma is okay, and for me, Christensen's been the biggest letdown. I thought he would have grown into a great centre back. So, listen, he is no question better than what they've got. So, for that reason, it has to be a good signing.
2 seconds in, Stevie brings up Liverpool. Frank, looking at it, Silva to Chelsea, this works for you?
It does, Dan. I think I could have been critical towards Thiago Silva lately because of his lack of leadership, but he is still a fantastic player. I don't know if he doesn't drink, if he doesn't party, and if he only sleeps and work, but which wasn't my case, you know. I was partying with Craig Burley, and we were drinking together, and we won trophies, so who cares about that? So the thing is still at the top. He showed it during the Champions League campaign and worked very hard. He's a very, very good player. He's hard to take on defensively. And he will fit to Chelsea, and he will help the young centre-half that we have at Chelsea, but are not very consistent. So it's a good signing. Very pleased with that.
And of course, Craig, he's playing in front of we don't quite know who at the moment. According to Petr Cech, Kepa is still their man at Chelsea. But I suppose he's inevitably going to say that. If someone came in with a big offer, they would certainly let the Spaniard go. How much of an issue is this? Doesn't matter who they've got playing in front of him. The fact that you've got either Kepa or Willy Caballero, two goalkeepers that you wouldn't necessarily think are of the standard that Chelsea would want.
Yeah, that graphic should say nobody has given up on Kepa yet, apart from Frank Lampard and Jody Morris, who, by the way, picked the team. You know, at the end of the day, though, you know, they might not be able to shuffle the goalkeeper situation around, and one of those two is going to have to start the season. We know Caballero effectively is a number two goalkeeper, but, you know, it wouldn't be beyond the realms of possibilities that he actually starts the season. I think that's the disdain that Frank Lampard, it seems, holds Kepa in. However, getting an experienced defender in front would certainly help the situation, and that's clearly what Thiago Silva is. Short term, this is a no-brainer for Chelsea. Come in, fill a gap, can organise, is still fit, and he's a short-term issue. But please, please, please spare me the BS of another 5 or 6 years. Because if his agent wants to go out and find me and pick me out and spot me and take a picture of a 41-year-old player playing in the top levels, top leagues around Europe, go and find me that guy.
Frank, how concerned would you be going into the start of this new season with Kepa but in that Chelsea goal?
It's a problem. It's a real problem, and he was very inconsistent last season, and I think he has to go. The fans, the coach, have lost confidence about his performances, and maybe the centre-halves also felt the pressure. When you centre-half, when you're full-back, you need to have a comfortable presence behind you, where you know that if you're in danger, the guy's going to be behind you, saving you, which wasn't the case last season. So, I think he has to go, but they have to find another one. Mm. It was very important for Paris Saint-Germain, for example, when Thiago Silva was playing, that Areola or some others, they couldn't fit with the club level. And since Navas came to Paris Saint-Germain, we saw better defenders. We saw Kimpembe feeling better. We saw Thiago Silva feeling better, but also on the side with Bernat and others. So it's crucial for Chelsea to find a solution.
Chelsea spent more money than anybody else so far this summer, Stevie. Yep. Can they close the gap on City and Liverpool at the top of the table without upgrading their goalkeeper?
No, I don't think so. Listen, I thought, again, I'm going to mention Liverpool, but if you look at the difference Alisson made, if you look at the difference Ederson made to a City side that was already way better than what Chelsea are right now, so no, they can't win the biggest honours without a proper goalkeeper. And you kind of wonder, how are they going to get one? Because they can't go out and spend a lot of money on a goalie the way they did for Kepa. And you have to think that this is down to Kepa. He must have a horrible attitude, because there's no question, as far as ability as a goalkeeper, he's way ahead of Caballero. So this guy must have a rotten personality. Clearly Frank isn't putting up with it, and that's why Caballero's playing. So unfortunately for Chelsea, you ain't challenging at the very highest level if you don't have a good goalkeeper.
I still think Nick Pope at Burnley is one of the best out there. And I don't know what the scenario is with Burnley in terms of, you know, the fee that he would they would want for him. Of course, they don't want to sell him. But I do think come the Euros 2021 or Euro 2020, whatever you call it, it'll be next year. I do get a feeling if he continues the way it was last year, Jordan Pickford won't be England number one. Mm. Or I'll be surprised if he was England number one come the Euros. That's how well Pope played, and that's been noticed. And, you know, I don't know if Lampard likes him, but for me, that would be a much better scenario than Kepa starting the season. But it's going to come down to money. Look, the Chelsea board were in a bit of a arm wrestle with Lampard a few months ago, saying, no, we got to... And this is going back to what Petr Cech's been trying to say, but I think it's gone too far with the manager. But at the time, Lampard, I think, was adamant, I need him out. And I think the arm wrestle was because one wages and two transfer fee. Because they know and they knew at the time, they're never going to recover that. And I think there was a big fight to try and get Lampard to change his mind. And in some sense, he buckled a little bit and he played, but he played badly. And so I think Lampard just absolutely made his mind up and said, no, listen, I need to absolutely convince the board that we can't get to where we want to go with this guy as a number one. The problem is, somebody has to pay the big bucks for him. So there's a real game of cat and mouse here between not only Lampard and his owners, but his owners and other clubs.
Meanwhile, Frank, across London, we go to Arsenal. They confirm the signing of Gabriel from Lille for a reported 30 million euros. How highly do you rate him as a centre-back?
Well, he still have to improve. He's a young player. He hasn't got a big experience. He has one full season with Lille. But he's somebody who's willing to work hard to be successful, and he's going to bring something different to that central defense that we saw last season with the Gunners. He's going to be tough. He's tall. Also his pace is very good. So he's going to bring solidity, I'm sure, to the central defense of Arsenal. And hopefully he's going to settle down very quickly, because they desperately need mid. So I don't know who's going to play alongside him. I don't know if David Luiz, his compatriot, is going to play with him, alongside him. But Gabriel is, he's a good finding from Arsenal.
Boys, thank you very much. Stevie, of course, says he's no Virgil van Dijk. We'll be back tomorrow for more. Be sure to join us. We're keeping you up to date with all the latest news.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Not long now, then, until the new Bundesliga season kicks off on its new home. And what a way to start. The Champions League winners, Bayern Munich, taking on Schalke. That's on September the 18th. Breaking news, by the way, for that game that kicks things off on the 20th. Leipzig against Mainz. It was announced that there will be over 8,000 fans let into this match. The stadium at 20% capacity. Meanwhile, away from the Bundesliga, there will be 10 MLS matches on your screens tomorrow night, all starting at 7:30. Three games for you simultaneously there, all available on ESPN+. And also, it is the Nations League this week. I tell you what, some cracking ties. Looking forward to a few of them, especially, of course, Germany against Spain. Always an intriguing tie. That match on Thursday, ESPN2, 2:30 Eastern. Well, that brings us to the end of today's show. Thank you very much for watching. Thank you very much for Stevie telling us consistently that nobody is Van Dijk. Stay tuned, though. Extra Time is next with Frank LaBeouf, Mark Ogden and Craig Burley. Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. Thank you very much for your tweets. We've got Mark, Craig and Frank back with us after, a week visiting your grandson, Frank? First time you're a grandparent?
Yes. Yeah, very interesting moment, you know, when you have that little boy, you know, in your arms and you say, wow, am I that old that I deserve to be a grandfather? But after all, you know, it's nice, you know, and you start talking to the little boy who really doesn't care really right now. But we're going to spend good times. Maybe he's going to be a football player. Who knows? You know, I checked his feet. They're pretty good.
They look pretty good.
Hey, Frank, that's how we used to feel.
Excuse me?
That's how we used to feel when you came in, when you signed for Chelsea, you used to talk all week. Nobody cared.
I know.
Shut up, Frank.
Frank, does Depay need to leave Lyon? What club would be a good fit for him?
I don't know. Every club where he's going to be ready to give 100% and not think about his singing a song and not being fully prepared. I mean, he has a talent. If he decides to play like he played with the national team, it will be okay.
Right.
But I never seen that with him since he's in Lyon.
Mark, what does Fulham need to do in order to stay in the Premier League?
Fulham.
Yes, Fulham. They're a team that won. I believe they won the championship.
I thought he said Fuller. I'm thinking Fuller. I thought it was players called Fuller. What do Fulham need to do? They need to trust in Scott Parker and not make as many signings as they made last time and just try and give it a go with the players that got them up, because there were too many changes last time. They brought in too many players. Everything went out of the window and they were relegated pretty quickly. So just keep faith to Scott Parker and let the team that got up keep them up.
What's the Times newspaper?
Mark, can you imagine, Mark, that that you cannot understand an Englishman talking to you? So can you imagine, as a Frenchman, to you, for me to understand Dan Thomas, you know, how hard it is?
I don't know how you cope, Frank, I really don't.
Mark, couple of things. First off, you need to visit more countries, don't you? Because isn't that one of those things which you scratch off the countries that you visited? Because from us, it just looks like you've only ever been to Australia, and that's it.
And yeah, also, I can't go anywhere at the moment, though, can I? I
mean, that's very true.
That's just a list of countries that are in quarantine right now.
And what's the newspaper article over your left shoulder?
The newspaper is my leaving present from the Daily Telegraph when it was a reconstruction of the day that I got the hairdryer from Sir Alex Ferguson.
Oh, if people don't know that story, tell it to us. What's it about?
Do you have the time? Well.
Wow, we got time.
So, I'll try and keep it as quick as possible. I wrote a story that Rio Ferdinand would miss a game at Everton in Fergie's final season. Rio missed the game, United lost, and I was blamed by Sir Alex for United's losing the game because apparently, according to Sir Alex, I gave the team to David Moyes. David Moyes changed the team, put Fellaini and Michael Carrick. Fellaini scored the winner, my fault. So I was banned for 3 months by Sir Alex for getting a story right. I actually met him one day at a school sports centre when he was opening the pitch to ask him to lift the ban. And I was told by the club that, yeah, he's kind of relented, he's feeling more mellow about it. So I went down there, lulled into a false sense of security, asked Sir Alex about the ban. And in front of a load of school kids, I got a fully expletive-laden rant, told me that I was banned for life. He was furious, red-faced, and I was left there with, you know, my jaw on the floor. And it got back to the office, who thought it was hilarious. So when I left, they gave me that.
That's brilliant, Mark. Fantastic. Oh, I can't believe that. All your fault.
I was just a little add to that.
Blaming a defeat to Everton on a player not playing. My God.
A little add to that story. Just to kind of tell you the power that Sir Alex would wield on that occasion. Richard Scudamore was there that day. I was there to interview Richard Scudamore, so it felt like a bit of a setup that Fergie was grandstanding in front of Richard Scudamore. So as I get this dressing down in front of all these school kids, I'll use the polite word. I was told by a photographer, who said, look, I've got this picture of you getting the hairdryer off Fergie. It'd be great to show your grandkids. Can I send it to you? I said, yeah, of course you can. So I gave him my email address. I got home and a couple of hours later, it hadn't arrived. So I sent this guy an email saying, did he send that picture? He said, look, I'm sorry, I can't do it. The Premier League have told me to delete it.
Wow. Look at that.
Wow.
The power of Fergie.
Yeah.
God, imagine those school kids would have loved
Absolutely.
It. Right then. Thank God. For Craig, does Liverpool need to change their back line? There has been a lot of scrutiny in the second half of last season about their back line, and it doesn't look at all that bright this season as well, because they lost against Arsenal in the Community Shield final.
Who are you asking that to?
Craig. Hence I said for Craig at the start of the question.
You were mumbling, and I didn't know what you said, so... Just stop mumbling. I mean, I love this. Since Liverpool haven't started the season very well in their one game, they've now got to throw the full baby out with the bathwater and undo all that good work. Look, what happened here was, I think, Liverpool won the league at a canter last year, and for some reason, some absolute doughballs just couldn't figure out why they weren't playing so well at the end of the season, and they were making some mistakes and lost a couple of games, and it didn't finish like it started. But for some reason, people don't understand that once these players had done their job and the trophy was in the bag, then it was always going to take a downturn. And we saw mistakes from Van Dijk and even Alisson. So they have two of the best fullbacks in European football. One of them is one of the youngest, and obviously Trent Alexander-Arnold, who will probably be England's right back at the Euros. He'll have some competition, but they have the best centre-half, arguably, on the planet. They do maybe have to look at somebody filling it with him. It'll probably be Joe Gomez, and one of the best goalkeepers. So I hardly think Jurgen Klopp is waking up in a cold sweat about his back line, to be quite frank with you.
For Mark, if Manchester United pull off the signings...
Is that for me?
...of Upamecano along with Van der Beek, What are your expectations for United next season? Would you be happy with just getting top four again, or do you need to see them challenge for the title?
I still, if they bring Upamecano in to add to Van der Beek, I still think the best they can hope for is third next season, season. I don't think people should get carried away. Liverpool and Man City are by far the best two teams in the Premier League. They're a long way ahead. You know, Chelsea have made some good additions as well. I think Chelsea are probably more likely to finish third than United right now. I think what United need to do is finish in the top four, obviously, and try and win a trophy, because it's now, and I've lost count of how many years it is since they won a trophy. Is it 3 years since they won a trophy? It's a long time for Man United. So Solskjaer has to win something, simple as that. Win something, make them more competitive, and finish in the top four. But, you know, probably all three, really. They have to be there all season. They can't just be drifting in fourth and fifth. But even those two signings what make them title challengers.
Do you agree, Frank?
Let's say that I think Manchester United will be more armed if they have Upamecano and Van de Beek. And again, we talked about that. You will have to find the right midfield, whether you're going to put Pogba or not, you know, whether Van de Beek is going to play number 10 or Fernandez a number 10, who's going to play alongside Matic. But they're going to be better. For sure, they're going to be more armed. They have talented forwards. Wan-Bissaka showed this talent on the right side. So, question mark in the goal as well. You know, like Chelsea, it's been a problem. But they're going to be better, and they're going to disturb the big club. So the other big club. So I don't think they can win the title, but they're going to go closer to City and Liverpool.
Craig, if someone offered you $1 million to stay as your people person for 1 year and have to answer the worst 10 questions on Extra Time every day, would you take that offer? Well, be a pay cut.
Yes.
Is that a yes?
What's a people person?
Well, you said you're going to be a people person nowadays.
Happy, I am a people person.
Yeah, happy, joyous, sociable.
I am.
Only on the golf course, not at work, you know.
Yeah, but why would it be happy and sociable and amicable on TV? Why?
Well, even off TV, you're not particularly amicable or sociable in the studio.
Yeah, because I'm just about to go on TV, so I'm revving up for it. I'm revving up for a debate. You know what I mean?
Okay.
If we all just agreed on everything, it'd be boring. You know what I mean? Like just sitting here, people. I heard somebody on TV, I'm not going to start naming names,
right.
I heard somebody on TV,
Frank,
whose job it was to analyse a coach. And at half-time, or at the end of the game, I can't remember, but anyway, this team had just got marmalised, and he said, well, I'm not going to sit here and question the coach's tactics, and I'm thinking, that's your job! That's your job! So, it's my job to keep you guys on the straight and narrow, if you just start to wander, see? Oh, and by the way, let's go back to the last question. I agree, I think it's going to be a big ask to be... Well, I'm going to contradict myself here, but why should United... If United have just signed a really good young fullback last year in Wan-Bissaka, they've got Luke Shaw, who should be fit, and he's an England international, he's an expensive player. If they bring Upamecano in, they've got a great player. They signed big money in Harry Maguire. They did have the Spanish number one, but him and Kepa are sort of struggling. But we know he's a good goalkeeper. If they keep Pogba, get Van de Beek, have Fernandes, got Matic for experience, got McTominay, got Mata, got some players to come in, have England's one of England's best players in Marcus Rashford, have a player in Anthony Martial who had one of his best seasons, and if he continues that, we'll go to the Euros with France. Where's the excuses?
Yeah, Mark.
But where is the excuses?
I agree.
Well, the squad isn't deep enough, and I think a lot of those players have still got to prove themselves. You know, you look at Liverpool, look at that front three, Mane, Salah, Firmino. They've been around the block for a long time, the late 20s, they've done it. I just think with the United squad right now, there's a lot of question marks over some of the players. And, you know, Wan-Bissaka, great defensively, not very good going forward. Luke Shaw, never really lived up to the hype. I think all the players you've praised, you could find fault in. I don't think United's fullbacks are good enough to win the title.
Well, they bought them.
Exactly, and it's a fault of recruitment that they didn't buy defence fullbacks that could, you know, be more, contribute more going forward. And I think that the other players you talk about, Matic, you know, great experience, but not very mobile around the pitch. McTominay, young, but doesn't have the experience of Matic. I do think that there are a lot of players in the United team that just haven't quite ticked all the boxes. You know, I think Fernandes is great. I think Pogba, we spoke about, doesn't really offer anything defensively. We have yet to see Van der Beek in the Premier League. Mata's past it now, unfortunately. Great guy, good player, but he's past it. So, Martial, inconsistent. You wouldn't hang your hat on Martial, would you? You know, to score your 25 goals a season. Rashford, great potential, hasn't always shown it. Greenwood, great talent. I just think there's a lot of players in that squad that we're still waiting to see what they're really all about.
Mark, will the Big Six actually finish in the top six in the Premier League this season? What are the repercussions of missing out of top four, especially for Mourinho this campaign?
Yeah, I can't see anybody breaking the Big Six. You know, Wolves maybe, but they're losing players at the minute rather than adding to the squad. So it'll be hard to see beyond the top six. Mourinho, if he doesn't get the Champions League, you know, I think Mourinho at Tottenham is always going to be a bumpy ride. And I think if he gets to the end of the season, I'd be surprised, because it's, you know, they've got the Europa League, they've got a horrendous draw in the Europa League. They've got, is it Lokomotiv Plovdiv? Then if they get through that, two more trips to Eastern Europe, they're going to have a season where Mourinho will get grumpy very quickly. And when Mourinho gets grumpy, it doesn't work well for anybody. So I'm not sure he'll be there this time next year, because they won't get the Champions League.
Can't wait to see Mourinho in the transfer window. Just about to slam shot. It's going to be fun, isn't it? But tell me, Dan, who's the Big Six? I'm intrigued.
Well, who's the Big
Six?
Yeah,
me too.
Manchester United, Manchester City, Chelsea, Liverpool, Arsenal, Spurs. That's your six.
Okay, where did Arsenal finish last year?
They finished eighth.
Yeah. Okay, when did they last win the league?
1973.
2004. When did Tottenham last win the league?
A long, long time ago.
Yeah.
When did
Leicester City last win the league?
But we're talking the traditional Big Six. That's what he means.
Oh, right. Sorry. I didn't know Tottenham on the traditional Big Six. I thought it was a traditional Big Six. You probably had to throw Everton in there. Have they not won more trophies over the last 20 or 30 years?
Oh, let's throw Aston Villa in there as well then, shall we, if we're getting down that road?
No, but Everton, you know, Tottenham at White Hart Lane, you know, the odd FA Cup.
Don't play there
here
anymore.
And there.
That's over. Done.
Yeah. Got a Champions League. Leicester won the league 2016. Arsenal hadn't won the league since 2004 or thereabouts.
They won the Community Shield, Craig Burley. Come on.
Arsenal won the FA Cup. You're right. Who sent that question in about Arsenal winning the Champions League in the next 3 years?
Yes, that's what Arteta said, wasn't it? Frank.
Did he really say that?
No, I don't know. I don't think he did.
Well, why are we putting it up?
Frank, could you teach Craig, Mark and Dan to be actors? Is there any potential, or do they lack that je ne sais quoi?
Well, I think the only thing you have to have is to not be shy in front of the camera, which is not the case, especially for Craig. I think he's pretty secure in front of the camera. And after, I think you just have to be sincere. If you overplay, you will look fake. You just have to be sincere in every expression you want to show to the viewer. So that's the only thing to do. And yeah, they're pretty good. They're good-looking people, and they seem to be sincere. They're not scared of the camera, so I have nothing to teach them. Oh, just want to see them.
A beautiful, sincere answer, Frank. Finally.
Okay, perish the thought, going to LaBeouf's acting classes. Good grief.
Goodness me.
I tell you what, I'd rather go on the Gab and Jules podcast.
Wow. There really? You are you sure?
Thank you.
No.
No. Final question. Has Craig ever scored in the World Cup? Have you, Craig, ever scored?
Well, you brought it up. You brought it up.
I didn't bring it up. I said, would you prefer to score in a World Cup final or sink the winning putt for the Masters? And you said,
we have scored in the World Cup final.
It's not the World Cup final. You're scoring the World Cup.
Final.
Finals.
Oh, well, that's plural.
Exactly. Right, that's it. Thank you very much, gentlemen. We're all going to be actors
now.
If
we'd have got to the final, I'd have scored.
Yeah, of course. Well, you'd been suspended, I imagine. That is it. Thank you very much. Back tomorrow for more. Until then, goodbye.